Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Steve Mays. We're glad you're taking this opportunity to deepen your study of the Scriptures. Now we invite you to follow along in your Bible as we dive into the light of the Word.
Well, shall we turn this morning to John chapter 10, verse 11. In verse 11, he declares, "I am the Good Shepherd." The Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And then jump down to verse 14. "I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." So in verse 11, underline, "I am the Good Shepherd." And then again in verse 14, underline the word Good Shepherd. So twice he mentions in John chapter 10 that he is the Good Shepherd. The background is so critical for you understanding what he's talking about. You need to go back, and not now, but in your minds, to chapter 9, where you remember he healed the man who could not see. And he begins to mix up the mud, and he spits in it and sticks it in the guy's eye. And that is a horrible thing to think about. And I'm almost thankful that I was blind and he did that I didn't have to see it. But the man really didn't care because, of course, he was blind, and so he had this piece of mud in his eye. And the Lord told him now to go down and wash it in the river. And when he washed it, then he was able to see. And that's kind of interesting. We looked at that in chapter 9. But the moment he made the mud, he violated the law of the Pharisees and the scribes because he was now working on the Sabbath. Jesus did most of his miracles on the Sabbath because he was seeking to make a very important point in the life of the Pharisees and the scribes, that they were blinded to the truth, that he was the Lord of the Sabbath, that he made the Sabbath, and that healing on the Sabbath was not violating their law. For their law gave them permission to pull out an animal if he was caught. But when he would heal a blind man, or he would tell a man with a withered hand to stretch it forth, or he would tell a woman to stand up straight, or he would heal the dead on the Sabbath, they went ballistic. And that's the danger of being a Pharisee, is that you become insensitive to the moving of God's Spirit. That all you see is the things that someone has violated, but you are not able to see the work that God is doing deep within the heart of people. And so he comes to chapter 10 and is explaining why they were not getting what he was doing. And you remember he declared, "I am the door. And no man can enter unless he comes through the door." And we saw that Jesus is the door. And if you want a relationship with Christ, then you need to come through him. Well, they were unwilling, the Jews and the scribes. Now he begins to share that he is the shepherd. And he is the good shepherd. Let me read to you verses 22 through 30 and kind of give you a picture of where the scribes and Pharisees were. And it was at Jerusalem during the Feast of Dedication. And that would be during the time where they would celebrate the Festival of Lights, where Maccabees, you remember, destroyed Antiochus Epiphanes back in about 165 BC. And it was during the winter, so it would be around the month of December. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, "How long do thou make us to doubt? Why do you make us doubt? If you are the Christ, then tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name that bear witness of me. So I have told you, and you have not believed. My very works have testified, and you still do not believe." Verse 26, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep." So underline, "not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice." Oh, what a great verse to underline. "I know them," and underline that. "They follow me," and underline that. So my sheep, they hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me. In verse 26, "You're not my sheep." In verse 27, "They hear me, they know me, and they follow me." And verse 28, I gave unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And from that moment, they sought to destroy again the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get there, we realize that he is speaking to these Pharisees. He is saying that I am the shepherd. And so if you need a shepherd, he is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. And when you think of the nation of Israel, you think of shepherds. Amos was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. Solomon was a shepherd. When you think of the Old Testament, you think of Moses was a shepherd. And on there were men. Even Abel was the first of all shepherds there in life, the beginning. And we find that he offered that sacrifice unto the Lord. It'd be like saying that cowboys come from Texas, or like trees are grown in Oregon, or that there's beaches in California. I mean, shepherds are all over the place. And the interesting thing is that God declared that I am the shepherd of Israel. And I'm also the shepherd of those who do not know me, the other flock. Now in Psalm 22, in Psalm 23, in Psalm 24, it mentions, kind of interesting, about three important issues. In Psalm 22, it declares that he is the good shepherd. He's willing to lay his life down there on the cross of Calvary. In Psalm 23, he is the great shepherd. In other words, he's alive, willing to walk with you through the very difficult times of your life, willing to follow you with surely goodness and mercy and to help you to get into the kingdom of God. In Psalm 24, it declares that he is the chief shepherd, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So in Psalm 22, it is a picture of his priesthood. In Psalm 23, it is a picture of him as a prophet. In Psalm 24, it is a picture of him as a king. One more time, in Psalm 22, it is the past. In Psalm 23, it is the present. In Psalm 24, it is the future. And the reason I'm saying that is because in Psalm 22, it is the cross of Jesus Christ, and God has dealt with all of our sins, and Jesus Christ is the priest, and he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. In Psalm 23, we find that not only is he the good shepherd, but he becomes the great shepherd. In that, he understands his sheep. He's willing to do a work, and it speaks of the present. And he is the great shepherd. And in Psalm 24, he is not only the king, but he becomes the chief shepherd, the one who becomes the bishop of our soul. And so this morning, I want to look at this very simple passage in John 10:10. And 11, and declare three important issues this morning. Number one, he is the good shepherd. Number two, he is the great shepherd. Number three, he is the chief shepherd. And so in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd, verse 14, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Well, the first thing I realized about being a good shepherd is that you must be willing to die. A hireling runs when the wolves come. A hireling will give up the sheep if he doesn't want to attack the enemy or the thief or the robber who's coming to steal and to kill. But a good shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. So the first thing I need to put in my mind and my heart about my shepherd is his whole theme of life was his willingness to die that I would live. So I stand before you because he was willing to die. And so it declares in verse 9, he saved us. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. The first thing that he did for me as a good shepherd is he found me. When I was alienated from God, I was a stranger away from God, he saved me. He reached out from the gutter and he took me to the uttermost. In other words, he saved me in a wonderful way. But not only did God save me, it declares in verse 9, but check out in verse 14, he knows me. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. It's one thing for God to save you, to pull you out of that horrible pit, to place your foot upon the rock, to pull you out of a bondage situation or to bring you into a salvation situation, and then to let you go. But because he's the good shepherd, he knows you. He knows your makeup. He knows your nature. He knows the very necessity that you need in life. He knows your personality. He knows how discouraged you get. He knows how rebellious we can become. He knows how much we love to do things, and he knows everything about us. And he wants us to know that I know you. I know what you feel like when you wake up, and I know what you feel like when you go to bed. And it is a responsibility of a shepherd to know the state of the flock. And so he's one who looks over your life on a constant basis. He evaluates and checks out the ticks and makes sure that there's nothing wrong in your life. And so he's dropping in on you constantly, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. But not only is he knows me and he saved me, but check out at verse 3, he calls me. In verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. And so he's calling me, Stephen, come. You remember he came to Zacchaeus and looked up a tree and said, hey, Zac. He didn't say Zac. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. And I want to have dinner at your house. He was hungry. Jesus loved to eat. What can I say? He just loved to hang out with people. You remember he came by the tax collector table. He saw Matthew. He said, Matthew, come. And Matthew left everything and took his pen. And Matthew then used his pen for the glory of God, writing the Gospel of Matthew. You remember Peter was fishing. He said, Peter, come here. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And so God is calling from different people. But he not only saves you, he not only knows you, but he also is calling you to do a work for his kingdom. And then I find in verse 4, he also is willing to lead me. In verse 4, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. In other words, he will never take you where he hasn't been. He's been tested. Therefore, with him, you can be victorious. He went through Calvary. Therefore, he'll help you when it's time for you to die. There's not a place that he hasn't been that he's willing to take you there unless he's been there. Many people want to take you places they've never been. But he's been every place you could ever dream. So when you become discouraged, he's been there. When he's become overwhelmed, he's been there. When he was being tried by the Satan himself, when you have been tried, he has been there. And he will go before you. And he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will guide you. He will open the doors and he will do the work. And verse 16, it declares, he engrafts me. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. So he's speaking to the nation of Israel. Now he's speaking to the Gentiles, me. He is saying, I have Stephen, and I want him. He's a Gentile, and I want to bring him into one family, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. But notice, he also protects me. In John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, would you underline this please, giveth his life for his sheep. In verse 11, he giveth his life for his sheep. Then jump down to verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and, underline, I lay down my life for my sheep. Then in verse 18, no man takes it from me, but, underline, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. In other words, I love my sheep. I will lay my life down for my sheep. And that is the heart of redemption. That when we were alienated, we have laid every one to his own way and we have gone astray. Jesus took the agony of Calvary and he died for my life. He laid his life down instead of God dealing with me in my sin. He laid his life down and destroyed the power of Satan that I might be able to live without guilt and shame. He destroyed the kingdom of darkness that I might enjoy the kingdom of light. And not only that, but he has blessed me in John chapter 10, verse 10, to give me a life more abundant, an abundant life. But the best of all is found in verse 28. And I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And I have never seen this before in verse 28. And my Father holds my hands, and they will not pluck them out of his hands either. So that's pretty good security when the Father and Son is holding you together. Now let me review, because there's just two other things I want to share with you this morning. Number one, he is a good shepherd. And the reason why he is a good shepherd, in contrast to the hirelings, is because number one, he knows you. He understands the way you are made. And he has offered you salvation, which you have taken. And you now can enter and you can go in and out and you can be blessed by the Lord. But he's also called you for something that he wants to do in and through your life. And he called you by your name. Also, he has led you and he will lead you in the future. He will guide and open the doors for you in your life. He will bring you into the family. Though you feel alienated, he will bring you into the family. And he is willing to die to protect you from the wolves. He's willing to die to protect you from the thieves. He's willing to lay his life down in order that you would be able to live. But he wants you to live abundantly. And he wants you to know that you are so secure that you will never be able to be plucked out of the Father's hands because you have eternal life. That's a shepherd. That is a shepherd above every shepherd I've ever heard, willing to lay his life down. And so he is the good shepherd. But now turn with me to two other passages, and I won't wear you out with any more. In Hebrews, in chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Not only is he the good shepherd, because he's willing to what? Die. But he is the great shepherd, because he's willing what? To live. He lives in heaven, making intercession for you. And the book of Hebrews is all about something better. And it declares in Hebrews chapter 13, towards the very end of the Bible. If you're in Revelation, you've gone too far. If you're in James, you've gone too far. If you're in Timothy, go right. In Hebrews, in chapter 13, verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, and underline that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. The word to make you perfect in the Greek is a word that means for a doctor to set the broken bones. For a fisherman, it means to mend the nets. It means that God is able to put you back together because He is the great shepherd. He is the great shepherd in the sense that He rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father. He's at the right hand of God, making intercession for you. He told Peter, "You're going to be tried. But when you come through, I want you to know I prayed for you, Peter, and I want you to strengthen your brethren." So God has given you a promise. You're going to make it. And when you make it, you need to help others because He's the great shepherd. It means that He's there interceding for you. He is the yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is present. He's here right now. He's in my heart. He is the great shepherd. And He's great because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice it says in verse 20 of chapter 13, through the Lord, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So He went through the cross as a good shepherd. But when He rose from the dead, He became the great shepherd, that powerful shepherd. That one that's able to destroy every single enemy in your life. And you need to see Him not only as good, but you need to see Him as great. He is great in the sense of His resurrection. Great in the sense of His ascension. Great in the sense that He's in heaven. That He beat the power of death. But there's one more. One more thing I want you to turn with me to. And that is to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Go left. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. He is the good shepherd in chapter 10, verse 10 and 11. He is the great shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. But in 1 Peter in chapter 5, verse 4, He is the chief shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. Notice Peter declares, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Well, let me tell you how it works. The past, He is the good shepherd. The present, He is the great shepherd. Concerning the future, He is the chief shepherd. And here, the word means that He's coming back. And He's going to reward us for the things that we're doing. The way that we've taken care of the ministry. And Peter, as one who is a shepherd himself, is declaring that you are under shepherds. You are not the shepherds. He is the chief shepherd. You need to listen to Him. And what a conviction to my heart. Stephen, you need to understand that a good shepherd is willing to die for his sheep. Are you willing to die for these people? Oh God, they fall asleep. They're in my message. They don't listen to me. And, you know, they think they can do it better than me. And what am I supposed to do? Are you willing to die for them? Well, if I really like them, I might. Well, then, Stephen, you're not a shepherd. Okay. Stephen, are you a great shepherd? Well, what's that mean, Lord? Will you stand between the dead and the living and proclaim the truth? Well, I don't want to get involved in their life because, you know, they kill each other. You know, these Christians here, you know, they get in relative fights. And are you willing to be strong and stand in their behalf and help them? Well, after they beat up each other, I might, Lord. I don't know. I think so. And Stephen, you think you're a shepherd? Well, yes, I'm a shepherd. I'm the chief shepherd. Are you doing what I tell you to do? No. Well, Stephen, we need to talk after the study today. You see, a good shepherd, he's willing to die for the least of the sheep. A great shepherd is willing to stand and declare the truth even if they're stoned. A chief shepherd is one who understands that he has authority, yet he's under authority. And the scripture I want to leave you with is one that I think will give you great hope. And I had to do this because I had to leave it in Peter, because if I went out of Peter, you'd probably shoot me. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. I've waited all the service to share this one verse. Not only is He the good shepherd, not only is He the great shepherd, not only is He the chief shepherd, but lastly, He is the bishop of your soul. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, "For ye were as sheep going astray." Oh, yes, Lord. we are wayward. We go astray, but the great conjunction, I now return to the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. You say, well, Stephen, how do I know that I'm a sheep? How do I know today that I'm a sheep? Well, I think there's four very simple ways you can find out. It says in verse 27 that sheep are sensitive. They hear his voice. And so the question I'll leave you with is, do you hear his voice? Are you sensitive to the voice of God? In verse 27, my sheep, they hear my voice. Well, yes, I do hear his voice. Well, then you're his sheep. If you're saying, well, I don't hear his voice, well, then you're probably a goat. Well, I don't want to be a goat. Well, then you can be a dog. Well, I don't want to be a dog. Well, I'll be a pig. Well, I don't want to be a pig. Well, you're either a pig, a goat, a dog, or sheep. Well, how do I become a sheep? Well, you need to enter into the gate. And then you become a sheep. Well, I'm a sheep. I hear his voice. Okay. Also in verse 27, not only are they sensitive, but sheep are obedient. They follow. In verse 27, they follow where he tells them to go. And so the first characteristic of a good sheep is that they hear the voice of the shepherd. The second characteristic of a great sheep is that they are obedient and they follow very close to the master. The third characteristic is found in verse 28. They are confident. I have eternal life. Hey, boys and girls, I'm going to heaven. Pastor Rob has his button in his office called the rapture button. It's not plugged in or nothing. I wish it was. Well, we try plugging it in electrical current, but it doesn't work. We need to plug it into heaven and push that button and we're out of here. I'm ready to meet the Lord. Amen? I don't know yet. Maybe you're not a sheep. Well, I'm a sheep. Well, if you're a sheep, you're confident. If you're confident, you're going. I'm out of here in Jesus' name. Take me right now. Well, I might be a goat, but I'm thinking about being a sheep real quick here. Eternal life, I have confidence. I have confidence in nothing else in my life, but this one thing I do know, I'm going to heaven. And the fourth characteristic, very simply, is found in verse 28. I'm secure. No one will pluck me out of my Father's hand. And no one will pluck me out of my Savior's hand. And I'm double secure this morning. Oh, I want to be a sheep. Well, then I need to hear his voice. I need to follow his ways. I need to walk with confidence. And I need to be absolutely secure. Well, how can I have that? Enter through the gate of the Good Shepherd. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Great Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd, willing to lay your life down for your friends. Lord, you are the Great Shepherd, willing to pray, standing by the throne of God, interceding on our behalf. Peter declares that you are the chief shepherd. You're coming back, and all the shepherds will have to give an account. All the dads will have to give an account. Every one of us will have to give an account of our stewardship to you. And when we fall away, Lord, you become the shepherd and the bishop of our soul. Lord, it is good to know that you are the overseer and one who walks among us. And when you see a soul beginning to drift, Lord, you keep us in your hands. So give us confidence. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe some of you have never come to know Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you this morning, for the first time, you realize that you need a shepherd, a good shepherd, a great shepherd, a chief shepherd, one who will walk with you and over and with you. If you'd like to ask the Lord to come into your heart or to rededicate your life, would you simply raise your hand that I might pray for you this morning and raise them high. God bless you. And God bless you. And God bless you. God knows who you are. God bless you. All you need to do is enter the gate. God bless you. Do you want to be a sheep? Now the goats, they don't want to enter in. And they have no part in the kingdom of God. You're saying, Steve, I really want to be part of the kingdom. Then you need to come through Jesus Christ and hear His voice. Anyone else before we close? Father, we thank You. God bless You. And God bless You. Father, we thank You. And we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?
That's Pastor Steve Mays wrapping up our study time together. If you'd like to know more about the many other Bible study helps we offer here at Calvary Chapel South Bay, visit us online at www.ccsouthbay.org or give us a call at 1-800-339-WISE. Until next time, God bless.